Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs, it is Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about Grand Theft Auto 5, which is an open world action game developed and published by Rockstar Games for the PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2013.
And then again for the PS4. And then again and again for current systems. Updated and updated.
A perpetual game. A decade later.
Yeah.
It's weird to think about this game being 10 years old, not to always play that, but it is technically retro by the Retronaut standards.
It is retro by Retronaut standards. This is a Gary pick. Mm-hmm. This is just something that I'm not very driven by open world big games like this, mm-hmm. but every once in a while I have an itch.
Yeah.
And this is the one, you know, I don't like Grand Theft Auto 4. Very much. Like, I tried to play that. I bounced off it about halfway through, like deep into it.
Yeah.
But everyone said this one is better, and it is.
Yeah.
Happy to do this. I had, you know, there's tons of issues with it. It's a weird fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
2023 eyes. Like, this has a lot, and any attempt to, you know, or not any, most attempts to find humanity in this are tricky.
Mm-hmm.
This has all of the Rockstar
issues. Yeah.
You know, but there's also a fun video game in it. You know, that I genuinely had a lot of fun playing.
That's, you know, the thing, right? Yeah. It's this is a fun game where you get to do cool shit. And
yeah,
that can't be everything, but it counts for a lot, actually.
Deeply uncool shit too. Like, yep. Really boring stuff every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird game. This puts a lot of pressure on my, like, what prices are you willing to pay,
mm-hmm.
for fun? You know,
yeah.
Because it's, you know, fairly, like, reprehensible, from top to bottom. Like, it's pretty gross as a game, you know, but it's just, it's fun. And it's not fun all the time, but when it's fun, it's real fun.
Yeah. I've been talking this one up for a while. I think this has always been a threat to be put on here. Remember back when we talked about a couple years ago, we did Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and a lot of my criticism in that was kind of couched in kind of the way that open world games, and specifically this this franchise, had grown, mm-hmm. you know, kind of beyond that. You know, obviously it should have in the 11 years between the two, between those two entries, but you know, it is that it kind of loomed large over playing that and how antiquated it feels.
Yeah.
And this feels like, you know, modern, right? At least at least mechanically and structurally, this is just such a smooth drink. You know, you can just basically down it all in one go.
For the most part, like, the improvements this has over 4 are pretty wild.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To me, like, 4 also feeling like a very modern game. You know, or, you know, at least in terms of just being an old man, like, oh, how old do you feel? This came out in 2008 or whatever. It's fixed a lot of things that it took them way, way too long to fix.
Mm-hmm.
It has that feeling of giving credit to the Pokemon series for when they made, you know, HMs or whatever, rewritable.
Right.
Or added XP share as default. And, like, uh-huh. sure, it took them 13 games to do it. And it, mm-hmm. it never should have been an issue in the first place.
Right.
This game makes checkpoints in mid-mission. Why did it take them this long? No fucking clue. Like, some kind of brain disease. You know, something wrong with England. I don't know.
Is there a charity that I can donate to cure that brain
condition?
Can
I throw a dime in exchange for a Tootsie Roll in order to fix the checkpointing that Rockstar has always done? But they did it. You know, so I got to give him credit for finally making it feel like a video game in that respect.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about this.
Me too. It's been on my mind a lot, like, since I played it. This is a sequel to Grand Theft Auto San Andreas a little bit. It takes place in Los Santos. That is the Grand Theft Auto version of Los Angeles and the surrounding regions of that. And for the first time, we have a triple protagonist of this. They range from unlikable and boring to unlikable to kind of likable but awful. They're all awful. Like the one who is has the most steady moral compass is a contract killer. Like they're all just scum of the earth. Like it's so funny that they introduce a third person to be like, you thought Michael was bad. You know, here's a guy who just, you know, rapes and kills for the fun of it.
Yep.
It's so funny. So we got our three criminals. They do crimes and they get wrapped up in this feud between warring government agencies.
Right. And this plays like a Grand Theft Auto game in broad strokes. You've got third person, the remasters added first person, which is a mode that I enjoy quite a bit. And you explore this world, you drive around, you shoot, you do missions, you fuck around and drive on sidewalks. You do all the Grand Theft Auto shit. Right.
Yes. It's typical to this formula that, you know, GTA 3 more or less created. You spend half your time doing missions, you know, story missions, half your time doing interstitial like side missions, and then the third half of your time making time and a half fucking around. You can fuck around at will.
And there's a lot of stuff to fuck around with here. This map is gigantic. This is not just the city. You've got, you know, the individual neighborhoods, but also the surrounding countryside. It is not quite San Andreas, where there are like three tiny cities that you go to, all in this kind of same state. This is, you know, like half of the map is Los Santos. And then you have like woods and mountains. You have the desert. You have a lot of water. You have military and industrial industrial facilities and like small towns like off to the north.
Lower income stuff. And there are a lot of building interiors to this, a lot of kind of small levels that you will do. All of this serves to give this sense of the city. You know, and this ends up being, you know, one of the big feats of the game is having this feeling of a city. Go back to our episode on Fallout 4, right?
Yes.
Say what you will about that game, but Boston as a post-apocalyptic city to scale, to explore is real fun. This gives you that, but not post-apocalyptic, you know, kind of alive. And you get this real sense of like social strata. There are good and bad neighborhoods. You know, and take the baggage away from that. I'm using the parlance of, you know, of the game, you know, but yeah, good and bad neighborhoods. You can see the economics at work, like the forces of it.
The businesses that are there, the kinds of cars that are prominent there. By and large, this whole map is great. I love getting around this, you know, even if for this particular playthrough, I was kind not eyes on the prize, because no matter what, you're going to be sitting down and kind of bathing in this for a while. I was kind of focusing on story missions for this. This is a fun place to spend time. Right.
Yes.
Something that has also helped is that this whole map can be explored from the beginning. You do not have closed bridges. You do not have, like in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, where if you swam too far, you would get a 5-star wanted rating.
none of that stuff. It has a general sense of being a little bit more simulationist.
Yes.
In that respect. So the big gameplay change in this is having the three controllable characters, and we should camp out on these characters and talk about them. There'll be individual moments that happen in the story that like reveal things about them that we'll talk about as we go, but it's worth knowing our people.
The main character of this, the one that they really want us to, I think, sympathize with.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
It's nice to want things, Rockstar.
is Michael DeSanta, as played by Ned Luke. All of these are like lesser known television actors. Only one of them has kind of gone on to be in stuff that like you would say, oh, that's him kind of guy. But he is this aging and retired bank robber who is in witness protection. His family is full of caricatures. It is all falling apart around him. And he is a sentimental and whiny sack of shit.
He is awful and his family is awful and he's awful to them and they're awful to him.
Yeah.
And then he in turn is awful to everyone and they're awful to him.
Yeah.
Like there are little shades of mild charisma, you know, out of all the people in the group, he's kind of like nice, you know, he can be nice to people. And this is absolute non-critical perspective. He looks like a friend of mine.
Okay.
A friend of mine has a face very similar. This guy, so every time he'd be on, I'd be like, "Oh, it's Andy," you know, and I just kept thinking that, and it made me, you know, a little bit more affectionate for him. They're trying really hard to make this guy like this is Rockstar's problem in general is like having your cake and eating it to you, right? they're trying to make him, you know, they saw The Sopranos. The Sopranos has a gangster who goes to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a gangster who goes to therapy and deals with this stuff.
Yes,
you know, and they go for that. Any attempt at pathos with Michael, I think, is pretty dead in the water.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks because there are things about the setup of his situation that could be done well.
Yes.
You know, it's a weird thing where a lot of times these characters, the sketches of them are actually a lot more sympathetic than the execution because of Rockstar writing. Like they just, you know, they can't not be Rockstar.
Yeah.
So the idea, you know, when he talks about this, is very compelling. We're going to get into the reasons why he got out of the game, stuff like that. I found all that stuff pretty interesting.
Yeah. Somebody who's just barely holding it together anyway, but then his past comes back to bite him. Like that's a pretty classic kind of setup. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good crime kind of story. It's just, he's just so unlikable and does so much monsterism at such a, you know, and not player controlled monsterism. Like
no,
you know, there's the big controversy with Grand Theft Auto where it's like, oh, you know, you get points for running over prostitutes, and then the counterpoint from Gamer Nation was like, well, you don't have to do that.
You know.
And it's like that's neither here nor there. Just the things you do in the story are awful. As this guy.
There's a read on Grand Theft Auto 5 that I like in that
the three different types of players,
or not the three different types of players, like that's one of them, but even just like I don't know, commenting on the series itself, you know, like Michael DeSanta is the holdover from the GTA 4, like we're really going to try and make a sympathetic character, you know. Niko Bellic as, you know, this war criminal who's trying to escape his past, you know, coming over and just very reluctantly drawn into this because of a lack of better options, you know. This is like Michael DeSanta is Grand Theft Auto trying to convince you that it is capable of taking itself seriously. Right.
I like that idea, but I don't think the execution's there.
Right.
You know, I think that they don't succeed at that.
Yeah.
You know, that is a fun read. I also don't necessarily think it was intentional. It's hard for me to know what's intentional in this because they shoot themselves in the foot so often.
Yeah. I don't know if it's intentional, but like you can just kind of see, like, you know, with Franklin and pulling up Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and then Trevor is just what is the reality of somebody who is an open world game protagonist played without self-delusion or any kind of illusion. Right.
Yeah. Second person you mentioned, Franklin, played by Sean Fortino. This is an ambitious gangster, you know, wants to leave his street life behind, make something of himself. He is the most boring of the characters to me by a lot.
Mm-hmm. He's not given really anything to do.
No, he shouldn't be in the story. He has nothing to do with the primary conflict.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting a third chair for Watch Out for Fireballs. That's a Franklin. So just whenever you and I have plans, somebody could be like, all right, when are we going to do this? and just encourage us at every moment. Like, let's get to it. And that's his main thing that he does. He sits around and is like, all right, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he just goes along with whatever happens.
He really is a cipher in a lot of ways. Like, he's got little side stories and stuff, and you spend most of them like the very beginning of the game with Franklin. You know, he's younger, he's coming from lower means, he does not have a lot of history, you know, like Trevor and Michael have a relationship that is lived in, they have a past or whatever. Franklin is the upstart and could be seen as like an audience surrogate, right? Like, he's of this world but also like reacting, but just kind of comes across as boring. But it's like, man, this is fucked up, kind of thing. Usually, again, sketches of interesting things here, you know, things related to how do you advance beyond your station without leaving the people who matter behind, you know, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. It's just that he disappears and he's really kind of underbaked and underutilized.
He disappears and he's a victim of a bigger problem in this, where this is a world in which people liking each other is impossible.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Like you don't. His best friend, like all of his connections are awful. It's the same thing with Michael. Like Michael is awful to his family. His family is awful to him. They're all awful. Mm-hmm. Franklin's, his friends are awful. Mm-hmm. Like what, you don't believe his connections and yeah, he's awful to them.
It's, you know, it's fun to listen to him and Lamar. Like,
they're mean to each other in a way that sometimes kind of has the cadence of like banter, but there's no affection.
Yeah.
You know, this is a world without affection. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to acclimate yourself to the rock star water temperature. Yeah. You will not find humanity here.
Yeah.
And the two of the stories we have so far are highly dependent on humanity for them to work.
You know? Everything in the world, you know, this is the Grand Theft Auto rockstar problem or whatever, but you know, it is everything from like individual, like, I don't know, like bus stop bench ads up to major characters, which is just the point of view character looking at you and saying, I am a terrible person and fuck you. And you're an idiot for even being around me. And also you're an idiot independently. There's nothing but contempt baked into everything around this. For
everything that's ever been, like the entire world, every player, everything. It is a deeply like childish worldview. Mm-hmm. That this company espouses with every decision they make. Anything I've ever played by them seems like it's from the mind of an 11-year-old who just learned to smoke. Yeah. And like, it's really embarrassing when they try to do bigger heartfelt shit.
Yeah.
They sometimes stumble upon situations that like in the hands of better people. Cause we're going to talk about Trevor, who I think is the most interesting of the three. Yes. We'll talk about, I think we both like Trevor a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
Trevor a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for me to get like, this is going to make me sound like a fucking parody. He's a little too rapey. Like there's a couple implied like sex assaults and it's just like, I can't like a sex assault guy. If they had dialed him back a little bit, you know, just a little bit, but he's the one that I like the most out of them, you know? Yeah. So when they stumble upon these things, they just don't have a perspective for it.
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit like that, the carnival Coke mirror that had South Park characters on it that I had that I won from one like if it grew a mouth and tried to make me cry
that's not what we're doing here. No. You know, and then this will extend, we'll talk about the world stuff in a bit, this extends to all the attempts at parody and all the attempts at satire and stuff that are all just goddamn embarrassing.
You what know, if like, I was stupid, incompetent, and corrupt, and you were an idiot too?
If everyone was stupid, and then the person playing this is, you know, you're smart. It's like the worst things about South Park, and then the worst things about early Rick and Morty.
Yeah,
you know, like we're the smartest people in the room because we hate everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's an attitude that it's a tribute to how much this game is fun and goes down easy that I liked it in spite of that, because it's my least favorite attitude a person can have. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate that level of cynicism. It's you know, it's not developed. Grow up, fix your heart or die.
Let's talk about Trevor. Doesn't do a lot.
Trevor. So Trevor played masterfully by Stephen Ogg. Just doing Stephen Ogg, who also looks like Trevor.
Yep.
Who is absolutely psychotic, like medically psychotic.
Yes.
He's a meth manufacturer. He lives out in the desert. He has a history with Michael.
Yes.
The reason I think that the affection comes for this guy is one that sometimes it's pretty funny. Like some of the psychosis, he backs into being legitimately funny. He has, even though he is a rapist and murderer, arbitrarily so, he has like a code.
Yep.
And that's one of these weird like drop of water in the desert things, right?
Yeah,
like we're presenting these, it's not enough. He's not a good person.
No.
He's not, you know, he's not even close to a good person. He's not, you know, an anti-hero. You know, he's awful. He's a rapist.
I don't believe in death penalty. This guy should get the chair.
It's by far the worst ending where you just kill him, but it feels the worst because he's by comparison.
Yeah.
You know, it feels the worst by comparison. He's the best character, but also he should die.
Yeah.
Like the name of the ending is something sensible, and like it would be sensible. The mm-hmm. world should not suffer him to live.
Yeah.
But he has like a code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has this kind of code. He has unpredictability that makes him like charismatic. Charisma is the word that we're looking for here.
Yes.
Unlike the other two, he has charisma. Like Franklin is a charisma deficit. Michael sometimes accidentally has charisma. Trevor has charisma even when he's doing really gross shit.
It is impossible to look away from him.
Yes.
And that code is entirely, he does not have like any illusions, and he does not suffer other people to have illusions, really.
Yes.
Like it is one of like radical genuineness. The problem is for him that it is being genuinely a monster.
Awful.
But like, I don't have to co-sign everything a fictional character does to find them really engaging
in an
entertainment product. Yeah. I just want people to understand I say that's less for you and it's more for everybody else. When I say that like Trevor Phillips is absolutely the standout in this, and I really enjoy watching him, it's not because I see him doing cool stuff that I want to emulate. Like listeners should emulate me.
Exactly. Go start your own podcast network. It's a thing where I love tons of characters who are really crappy. We do a show about Breaking Bad, which is about criminals getting in over their head. This game takes everything so much further and grosser than that for way less justifiable reasons.
Yeah.
That it doesn't feel like endorsement. It just feels like, at what point are you what you do? You know,
okay,
I guess in a perspective. But he has charisma. There's charisma. He has that code. He's kind of bait for people who are like, I'm an asshole, but at least I admit it.
Yeah.
Which has always been, I've always thought that was like Dennis Leary bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, that's you're still an asshole. Who cares if you admit it? Hypocrisy is not the worst thing somebody can be.
Right.
A rapist is worse than that.
Yeah,
You know, being honest about it doesn't make it better, actually.
But like there is a pathos to him that is also entirely upfront, which is
because he's a big open nerve. Like he's very sensitive.
Yeah. And like he is genuinely hurt by the betrayal that Michael did to him. Right.
Yes.
Like he talks very openly about his abandonment issues, you know, like as he is just straight up dominating people around him and emotionally abusing them. Like the way that he walks into situations and then just makes people his is very funny.
It's just fun to watch. It's that presence and charisma. Like he's by far my favorite character in the game, you know, bar none, like including all the side characters and every other thing of it. Like he's the most interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it also is because of that, I feel like he's not only the closest to reaching the potential, but also because the potential for him was so much higher, it's the most missed potential.
Okay.
You know, that they could have had in this game. Like I would have liked to have seen him in a non-Rockstar world.
Yeah, I am.
Like a character with this setup and these values and stuff could have been a good protagonist of a product with better writing, you know, than this generally.
Yeah.
You know, still, I don't mean to damn it too much with Faint Praise. Like, I still like him.
Yeah, super fun. Trevor is kind of the closest that this gets to, like, this is like a little bit of Saints Row kind of bleeding in, honestly.
So you trade off control between these characters largely at will. They'll have their own missions, and they will do big story missions with each other. Generally, some missions will involve all three of them. One of my favorite bits of this that just make the world seem real is that when you're not controlling the characters, they're controlled by AI doing stuff. So they will do stuff in mission and they'll hold their own, you know, or they're roaming the world. You can run into them when you switch characters. They've been doing something that I love that.
Yep.
I think that just makes this feel very alive. Like switching over to a character and having them like do what they'd be doing really works.
Yeah.
It's a really, really simple thing, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. You know, Franklin sitting in his big house that he has is like a tax shelter thing, you know, completely alone eating chips. Right.
Yeah, or walking the dog or like, and then a bunch of comedy ones like you switch to Trevor and he's naked on the beach, stuff like that. A lot of those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, you're switching over. There's a whole middle point of the game where you switch to Michael and he wakes up from nightmares. Every time you switch to him, he's waking up screaming. You know, it does a lot for characterization as it is, and it does a lot for making it feel like these people exist without you.
Yeah.
They're not ciphers, like even a little bit. And that's something I can say about all three of the characters. That is a good thing.
Yes.
Cipher characters are boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rockstar improved on a lot of the basic gameplay systems. It is night and day going from 4 to this.
Yes.
And that is largely thanks to intervening games that they made. Red Dead Redemption, Max Payne 3, a little bit of LA Noir. This is kind of a culmination of things that they were working on in that era, right?
Yes.
One of the big improvements is shooting, right?
Yeah.
And that's because they get rid of the hard lock, the automatic hard lock that you do.
Again, just you got to give them credit. But it took them a really long time to do this.
It really did. Yeah.
Shooting has always been the worst part of these games. It's always sucked. Yeah. And that didn't stop them from being 1/3 shooting. Now you have pretty decent. I don't think that this is on the curve of video games, wonderful or anything, but pretty good third person cover shooting system.
Yep.
That the game has. There are more interior spaces. The spaces have cover. Mm-hmm. It's not just these big wide open areas where you stand and exchange bullets like a Resident Evil boss fight, or a Final Fantasy battle. Yeah. Much better.
Yeah. You're not locked on and then running back and forth doing like a hip pivot to keep your shoulders characters face toward whatever it is. Like these feel like spaces. You feel like a person in them.
Consequently feels like a video game.
Yes.
It feels like a video game now as opposed to this weird, little Sims running around doing nonsense like sea monkeys. It feels like a video game. Right. There's a stealth system to it. So sometimes you can get the drop on enemies. And this is dynamic, which is good. There are more simulationist elements in this.
Yeah.
There still aren't as many as maybe I'd want, but they're dynamic. So there are missions that are stealth until they're not.
Yeah.
And you do have control over that. It's not scripted like it would be in previous games.
Combat and driving, these are augmented by the fact that each character has their own special ability activated by pressing the sticks in. There's a meter for this. I almost never was out of this, and I use them quite liberally.
The UI for this is a special nightmare. You have 3 non-labeled colored bars on the bottom, one of which is health, one of which is your special ability, and the other one I think it's
armor.
It's very funny. Bad UI. Michael is really good at shooting, so you get bullet time for shooting. And like all bullet time for shooting, you aim at regular speed.
Yes.
Franklin gets, I want to camp out on this for a second, gets bullet time for driving. I've never seen this before. You played more games around when this came out and stuff than I did.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is unique to this. This feels revolutionary to me.
Okay.
I can't get over this. This fixes so much driving shit in these games for me. You get to an intersection that's really tight, you throw on bullet time, and you weave in and out of traffic perfectly.
Oh, that's
and then
wonderful.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
I want a game based around this pretty bad. This was my favorite ability out of all of them. It's the most interesting that's ever been. The game doesn't always make Franklin the driver. Like a lot of times he's not the getaway driver, which is dumb.
Yeah.
But it made things that I usually find very odious in these games, which are like the street races and shit, actually work. Because usually those are just, there's no way to recover. So a Grand Theft Auto street race, the way those go is you start the race, the game spawns a bunch of traffic right in front of you. If you so much as like barely clip somebody's fender, you get turned around completely and you're done.
Yeah.
This is the antidote for that.
This makes it very satisfying to drive very fast, especially on like motorcycles. So each character has their own like signature vehicle, that is just, just like theirs. So like Michael has like a really fast sedan. Trevor has an incredibly fun, like Jeep truck kind of thing. Franklin has not only like a sports car, but also a motorcycle. Driving very fast is one of the best things you can do in a video game. I love the way that feels here, activating this and just being able to get through those tight situations. To answer your question, like, how is this brand new? I believe I saw this in the Stuntman games that came out like a couple years before this, like in the mid early Xbox 360 generation kind of deal. But like this is the game that I associate this mechanic with.
It's a really good mechanic. I really, really like it. Weaving in and out of traffic and motorcycles and stuff was both useful and fun for the entire game. It's also, these get refilled in different ways. The way that the bullet time gets refilled is through headshots. Makes sense. The driving one gets refilled through close calls.
yep.
which you will do every time you turn on bullet time, mm-hmm. which means you can use this for every intersection of the game.
Oh, you can keep it never slow down. Yeah.
Yeah. Trevor gets this thing called Rage Mode, which puts a film grain on and makes him do more damage and take less damage. Mm-hmm. This also slows things down just a little bit. It's not quite bullet time, but things get slowed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You are very fragile in this. Yes. Your health will regenerate up to 50%, and you can find first aid kits, but you will go down quick.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a very sturdy protagonist, and armor is paper. In this, it's more or less mandatory just to give you a couple shots, but like you will go down quickly.
And like armor is something that you buy at like the weapon shop before a mission. You know, it's not like you're gonna get pickups with it. If you die, you'll respawn at a hospital. This is per usual
if you're not in mission. If you're in mission, this is innovation. This is part of the mid-mission checkpoint thing. They just let you restart from the checkpoint. Previously, you die in a mission, you go to the hospital. This is what made me quit Grand Theft Auto 4. You go to a mission, you die, go to the hospital. Then you drive back to or take the taxi back to where the mission starts. But that mission is like, hey, man, I got to talk to somebody across town. Drive there. You drive there. They would tell you to drive somewhere else where you get shot and then restart. This thing where you're traversing the entire fucking city just to do a mission. They finally figured it out. Like, oh, no. People want to restart things after they die.
Mm-hmm.
Why it took them this long?
No fucking clue.
Absolutely big. You know, I can't handle it.
Epic Ars Belief.
But they fixed it. Yeah, they absolutely fixed it. And then very generous mid-mission checkpoints. Yep. Every once in a while, there'd be a checkpoint before a long monologue that would bump me out. Like, they really want me to hear this drive.
You know?
Really rare though, whereas that was the state of the game for every Grand Theft Auto previous to this.
Yeah,
and it's a tribute to how much just removing, like addition by subtraction, removing this friction, you know, that was killer. Like is a big, and I imagine people who go back, like if you have fond memories of the original Grand Theft Auto trilogy, and you go back and play them after playing this, you will feel this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, this will be that itch that is making you feel like playing other games during that. This is what's doing it, whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally fixed it. Like,
it was always a chore. It feels more like a chore once you have seen how it is not really necessary. It never was necessary.
And you've saw it in other games. Like, I don't want to give them credit for doing this because every other video game, like video games have fixed this for a really long time, you know, PS3 generation on basically is a big PS2 problem, but they eventually fixed this. Just Rockstar didn't. So it feels so good to play one of these games where they do that.
It doesn't solve that repeated monologue problem because it's not everything. But did you notice if you died and then restarted at a checkpoint, the variant dialogue? It got the same stuff across, but it was like not literally the same .wav file played.
Which is nice. Like that is a good attention to detail. I would still prefer to not do the very slow helicopter flight, you know, that has this thing. But, you know, again, just Rockstar constantly just firing a machine gun into their leg. Like, I don't know, people want to play drive really slow in helicopters. Driving on the ground feels a lot better than
it feels so good.
This game. It's a really nice driving game to my mind. Feels really good.
Yeah, tighter and faster. And we're talking about this specifically in relation to Grand Theft Auto 4. Some people were fans of the more naturalistic driving in that. In my hands, Grand Theft Auto 4, every car, no matter how nice it was, felt like a goddamn boat. In this one, there's a real wide variety in handling. You can still get in a boat, like a big old Buick or whatever. But this, like, it feels like a video game. It prizes fun over realism.
And it doesn't feel that different than like Burnout, which we, you know, the most recent reference we have in this show. Generally, so if you go back to those old games, flying was always this weird chore that they wanted to punish you with. There's a lot of flying in this. It is better. I really hate how helicopters control in this game. I really struggle with it. I can't get them up to speed. They never feel right. I never know how fast I'm going.
It plays really weird with the camera.
Really weird with the camera. Planes feel a lot better. Boats feel a lot better in this. And you're going to do a lot of that in this. Generally, you want to be on the ground. So the wanted meter returns. This is nice because it is less arbitrary. Yeah. You get a little bit less of a you did action, so automatic wanted star. Mm-hmm. It has those simulationist elements where you do need to be witnessed by things now. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Again, just something that should have been in the game from the start, series from the start.
Yeah.
And then the they will lose you now. No longer are you going to garages and repainting your car. Mm-hmm. You now they have vision cones, mm-hmm. and you lose the cops. So really weirdly, the thing that was hard for me to figure out because I was used to playing the other ones is that you head to the country or you go on foot.
Yep.
And you will get around. You'll get away. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to go literally hide in a garage.
Yeah.
You know, it feels more realistic and kind of simulationist, you know, less artificial, and also is more reliable
mm-hmm.
than having to memorize the map and know where there's a paint
kind
of thing.
Like I can like hide under this overpass, you know, or like, you know, just under this bridge abutment or whatever. And then like, they're going to, you know, speed over me. It ends up feeling like way more cinematic and, you know, you end up with less of like, you still have missions where the last step is like, hey, lose the heat. Right. That is no longer this weirdly arbitrary chore where you have no way of knowing how successful you are. The process is always the same. You're going to get enough distance. You know, get enough of a lead on them to where it goes into cooldown and you see the vision cones and then you hide. And like you have the option to like, you can press a button to like lower in your car seat to make yourself less identifiable. Like, you know, car based stealth, is really good. I think it was I think it was done a little bit better on Watch Dogs, which came out shortly after this. But car-based stealth is here and it works in a weird way.
It's you know, you always have a consistent way of doing it. I feel like in the previous games that it was more consistent. You would just go to a map part. You just go to a paint, you know, garage, but it was a chore. It wasn't expressive. You know, you always did the same thing. Here it's dynamic. Made getting it, you know, losing your heat fun, which was never been true in these games.
Right.
Another thing is that the mission, there's a big mission variety of this.
Yes.
A lot of variety in this in the structure and variety. You do a lot of cool stuff. You do a lot of uncool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do a lot of bland shit as well. you know, reports vary on that kind of stuff. I kind of welcomed it as a change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you do a wide variety of things as opposed to previous games, which were go run this person off the road, go shoot this person, go win this race, go collect these packages, follow this person, but don't follow them too quickly, too closely. Like that was basically the entire verb set of every game previous to this.
You know, you still have like go to a place and kill everybody there, or there's an ambush, or oh no, but like that is very it's mitigated. If every mission kind of feels crafted, at least to a degree, you know, like cinematic stuff happens in them, that it is not just a video game level that is, you know, bookended by cinematics, right? Something that is, you know, more a matter of theming, but like when you are playing this game and pursuing the main story, I think really, really does matter. Think about Grand Theft Auto, you know, 3 through 4, and all the ones in between, where every like the entire story was you're working for an asshole. All right.
Yeah.
And you go to the map marker where that asshole is, and he tells you to go do some errands, and you do this over and over again, report, get your job, go do it until he betrays you. And the next person that you're going to work for saves you, rinse, repeat until the game ends. Right.
Yeah.
That is repetitive. That is like a really bad way to tell a story.
The formulaic.
Yes. Yeah. With this, characters come up with things for themselves to do. They're responding to problems that are like resultant from things that they had done before or spring out from their characters or the people they surround themselves with.
Yeah.
I think that is a huge deal in the way that this tells its story. It makes this feel far less monotonous.
Well, it's the whole thing of them not being ciphers. Like the previous had to apply to anybody, but these characters have things they want. You know, whether they're unlikable, gross monsters or not, they have desires. They clear that step of characterization.
Right.
Which previous games didn't.
No.
The best additions, there are heists in this game.
God, so good.
They're real fun. I wish there were a lot more.
Me too.
I wish they were a little bit more complicated. They introduce a bunch of subsystems that don't really pay off. crew members will level up the more you use them. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to be doing this constantly and choosing a team that I like.
Yeah.
Not really. There's six of them. There's four heist. So, they tell you which ones to use.
Yeah.
But you choose, you scout the target, which is a little mission that you do. You go and you choose your approach between two. These typically are quiet and loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then you acquire the items. And this is sometimes where that blandness comes in. Like I just had to get a mixing truck, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you hire the crew generally between just a couple different options. And you're basically choosing whether you want more money or a better crew.
Mm-hmm.
I like these a lot. Don't get me wrong. Yep. I wish these were a little bit more developed because a lot of these choices are fake. Mm-hmm. You have no need for money in this game. So choosing the person who will take the biggest cut is never a bad thing.
Right.
In this game, just choose the best people for it. I also wanted more people to hire. I wanted more opportunities to do these things.
Yes.
As is, they're the highlights of the game for sure. But it made me want, I want Grand Theft Auto 6 to be all of this.
Yes.
Just let me run a little crime empire. Put me in a simulationist open world and let me run a crime empire.
Please. Yeah. This is something that Grand Theft Auto Online does. Like the heists are that game's version of raids, kind of. They're these big events and they're, bunches of them, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to play an online game to do it. So bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. With 25 strangers. I'm good. I've read about what happens in those games.
Yeah.
I don't need that. This always has multi-character affairs, is always most of your crew.
Mm-hmm.
You switch between playing the person doing the most exciting thing in the moment. It feels very cinematic.
Mm-hmm. Love these. This is again in a game full of big innovations. This is right up there with having multiple protagonists, right?
It's a really good idea.
A really good addition. There are all kinds of optional missions, side things to do, activities, things like that. Too many to cover in detail here. This is not Bonfireside Chat. We're not going to talk about every single, Freaks and Strangers, Strangers and Freaks thing.
I didn't do all of them. I did the first couple of a few of them, but I found these largely boring.
I
read about them, and some of them seemed okay, but I was just eyes on the prize at least a little bit. The idea is you meet a weirdo. These are named after the Red Dead Redemption, which are called Strangers, is what those are called. They're called Strangers and Freaks here. You meet somebody, you do something for them, do a mission for a very minor reward. I'm very happy that this is gone. What's gone from this is the tying these kind of things to necessary stat upgrades. In previous games, you would do these things and you would get a permanent bonus to unlimited sprint. For doing all the ambulance missions or some shit like that. No longer the case. You're not really incentivized to do these, but that also means you're not punished for not doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a balance I prefer.
Yeah. You kind of make your own Sunday with a lot of this stuff, right? Same thing with the hobbies and pastimes, random events. I never did these. Why is my bank robber stopping pickpockets?
I held up a convenience store when it first told me I could do it. And it was fine. And I left and nothing happened. But there was, that guy stole my bike. And I'm like, I did. I'm going to go steal your bike. It doesn't matter. I got places to be.
I'm not going to encourage vigilantism. That's going to come back on me in a bad way.
Again, go to that previous point. In other games, you would be incentivized to do this. It would be a pain in the ass, but if you did 10 of them, you'd start every mission with armor or something that. No longer the case.
Yeah. This is kind of a life sim. There are these hobbies and pastimes that you can do. These are not always signaled. They'll just be a little bit of a map icon sometimes about it. They're just things that you can do in different contexts that work with the systems that you have here. So you've got, returning from Grand Theft Auto 4, you have games like darts, golf, tennis. You've got yoga. Flight school, yoga you can do. races, you can do these triathlons.
Sets of races. Hunting, wildlife photography, stuff like that. Mini games, basically. They're reasonable. This is a reasonable golf. This is a reasonable tennis. kind of thing. I'm not here to play golf or tennis.
Nope.
You know, if when I were younger, when I just wanted to like live in a game,
yeah,
you know, it's the kind of thing I would do, but that has less appeal for me now. I'd rather play a game dedicated to those things, but it's there if you want this to be a forever game, even before you do GTA Online.
Right. Yeah. You can buy properties in this. Each character can buy different properties. And these will provide you not only steady income, but also many of them will have new mission types for you. So like you buy a bail bonds place and you can do bounty hunting. Trevor, like as part of the story, buys this airstrip and you can do smuggling. You can run arms. You can run drugs, things like that.
Yeah. I didn't do any of that stuff. I never bought a place in this.
Yeah.
Except for the one you have to buy. Mm-hmm. Each character has a cell phone. So you need just to do calls, text, emails, where you'll get messages. There's an in-game internet that is full of the worst jokes in the world, but also will open up side missions.
Yep.
For you can like join cults, take personality tests, things like that. These are basically Strangers and Freaks missions.
Yeah.
And then if you actually want to make money for some reason, the way you do it is through buying and selling stocks.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do this. You will never run out of money. Mm-hmm. It's a real weird, it's a post-economic scarcity GTA where you don't get money for most missions.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have this thing where the asshole says, hey man, drive to this place. And when you get there, you get $1,000 for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen anymore. You just get your money from heist and the money from the first heist will last you for the entire game.
Yeah.
You'll buy weapons and armor, which is the only thing you need. You don't have a lifestyle cost. It's not a life sim at all. Every once in a while, a new weapon will pop up that's kind of expensive, but you don't need these. You know, the basic machine gun and shotgun will do just fine for you. Like you can buy a rail gun, but you don't need to, you know, you just have to have lots of grenades. Like it's very, you turn into the Joker. Like the things I like are gasoline and guns and these things are cheap. You know, you don't need money. So the idea of this being there as a toy is kind of appealing, similar to the heist and the system with the hirelings for that.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a game developed around it because I would enjoy fucking around with those sim elements.
Yeah. It would be real cool if it mattered. As it stands, you know, this is, it's kind of part of a busy board a little bit.
Yes.
Which is like, you know, I'm grabbing onto the, you know, to the steering wheel here and saying, I'm a stocks person.
I'm helping daddy.
Yeah.
So each character has their own stats, determine their capability. These can be improved with training, or just playing the missions that you have. And you customize the characters, of course. You can do hairstyles, clothing, and tattoos. This is dialed back from previous games, even from San Andreas. Each character
San Andreas
has,
like, is a huge one.
As a couple different hairstyles, a couple different tattoos, things like that. Like this is minor. Also clothing, things like that. And this is where you'd sink your money. You know, if you want to, like the clothing and stuff gets expensive. If you really care about fashion souls for your GTA protagonist, you know, go with God, I guess.
You can customize your character, but you can also customize your weapons and your cars as well. You know, if you want a gold pistol, then go with God. Some of these can be like meaningful. You know, you can get like tactical attachments for your weapons, like cars. You can you can buy like run flat tires, like things that are kind of important. You know, if you are setting up like, okay, for this heist I need a getaway car, you know, that I'm gonna park somewhere, I'm gonna go and upgrade it first to make that mission easier.
It's worth noting this is also a quasi busy board. Like I didn't do this until the time it made me do it. Never suffered for it. I just grabbed a car and used it as a getaway car and it was fine. This is kind of role playing.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of fashion souls even for your cars and stuff. Like they're real options, but I didn't notice the lack of them.
Talk about the aesthetics here. This game looks very good at a distance. It is bright and colorful. Each of the neighborhoods really does give you the sense of place. Close up though, this is really showing its age, even in the remasters. Just the character models, the faces, like I don't know, there's just something about it. It's like, oh yes, Grand Theft Auto. In the weird like stiff corpse likeness of them, you know, to a degree. Even if the performance capture ends up being pretty good in some instances.
Yeah. I have some affection for that stuff now. Like I'm fully sicko and I'm just like, man, Oblivion looks good. Look at how look how disgusting that goblin man looks. Like what kind of weird ogre freak is this? Like
get the camera right up his nose. Fuck
yeah, you. Get this melted put the camera up this melted candle's nose. Oblivion baby. Like in a sicko mode, I like that now.
A world of rotting pumpkins.
Yes. Way into it. But it doesn't look modern. Like objectively, it doesn't look good.
No.
Music is good in this. The score is really good. I was surprised by how often when I was in a mission on foot that the music was good and it wasn't mm-hmm. licensed.
No.
Because it's GTA, there's a radio. Like, yep. Of course there's a radio. I really want... we did Vice City before. I love that the radio contributes to sense of time mm-hmm. and place to that. A period radio, I think, is a cool idea.
Yeah.
I would love if they did a GTA that's like the 70s. You know, same. Or something like that again. Mm-hmm. As is, you kind of get a grab bag of it. My experience with the radio in these games is always flipping through, having a few songs I like, and then getting sick of them.
Yeah.
Getting sick of hearing them. What were your stations in this? What'd you flip?
So the rock one, you know, was obviously there, you know, just, they got some real bangers on there, you know,
Free Time by Boston pops up and it's a good time.
just sometimes you turn it on just like, oh, here comes Carry Out My Wayward Son. I'm doing a pursuit. Yeah. Fuck yeah. The Flylo station, the Flying Lotus one was really good.
Which
kind
one's
of
that?
That was electronic hip hop kind of thing.
Okay.
The funk one, the funk station is really good.
Funk station's really good.
Yeah. I mean, Bootsy Collins is the DJ for that. Fuck yeah. Yeah. The coolest person to ever live. Yeah.
Yes. With the coolest name to ever have. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's all, you know, that one's real good. Mm-hmm. The old school West Coast hip hop one uh-huh. is real good.
Yeah.
The punk one is surprisingly legit.
Oh yeah. Hardcore one. Yeah.
Yeah. The hardcore punk one is like, you know, mm-hmm. actually pretty good.
Yeah. The Outlaw Country one was also really good. Liked that one.
I never listened to that one except for a couple comedy times when I got in a car and Convoy was on. Yeah. And like, I will always listen to Convoy. That is such a funny fucking song.
It's so funny.
It's one of the funniest songs that's ever been written, unintentionally so. Like, everything about that makes me laugh. Like, thinking about like a band performing it or rehearsing it. Like, Convoy is so goddamn funny.
CW McCall, fuck you. Like,
there's a lot of stuff in this that I, you know, that was not good to me. There's a lot uh-huh. of radio. In yes, this, yeah. It is a very expansive. I also would rather die than listening to the talk radio in a TV
these days.
Yeah. These days,
which
segues well into the writing.
I mean, we talked about the South Park of it all here. Yeah. You know, like it's just the tone. They have a house style, which I do not really enjoy. It not just because like I feel like it is more morally lazy, you know.
Yes.
But like it just I feel like it is formulaic and unfunny. You know, where it's just like what if subtext didn't exist?
Right? It's not very. Revolutionary to just sit on the sidelines and call everything stupid.
Yeah.
And so many of these things are presented without a twist.
Yes.
Like the jokes are just a character saying the thing that they're making fun of the Americanness of. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not a big America fan. You know, nope. this game, like you would think that some of the writing and satire stuff would appeal because it's coming from an America skeptical place and specifically skeptical of American government. Mm-hmm. In a way that I also am. It's just the most ham-fested like thing I've ever seen in my life. Like you'll have commercials and stuff and it'll just be like, well, we're drinking shitty beer and going to the rodeo and rounding up illegals and getting mm-hmm. guns. And I'm like, you're just saying the thing.
Yeah,
there's no subtlety to this. You're just making fun of beer commercials by saying the things that they say.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those like satire requires clarity of purpose. Bits.
Yeah, but actually I mean it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and then everyone being an awful parody of themselves. Like this game has tons of contempt. It's trying to make fun of West Coast like enlightened
like hippie dippyism to the point where multiple main antagonists say namaste to you.
Yes.
To the point where the writers weren't talking to each other.
Yes.
So like, oh, I'm going to be super fun. Like, I'm going to make fun of yoga people in this. And then just they put it together like, oh, like that's all just, it can't be everybody, guys.
And again, that way that this is a world in which humanity isn't possible and people can't like things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a moment with that where, like, you know, they introduce the yoga guy. The yoga guy is a joke. Mm-hmm. Your character tries yoga and it helps and he likes it. Mm-hmm. And he still hates it and still makes fun of it. Then the yoga guy turns out to be a dumb idiot monster. Mm-hmm. You know, your therapy missions end with you killing your therapist.
Yeah.
And then it's the most Grand Theft Auto writing thing in the world. You kill your therapist. And then at credits, I got a little letter from the therapist calling me the player gay. and it's the most Grand Theft Auto thing that's ever happened in my life.
Like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah,
make
you
a
get
note
a psyche eval, like shattered memories.
Yeah,
at the end of this, except it calls you gay, and I think the reason why it called me gay is because I didn't engage with the stripper minigame. Like, I'm 90% sure that's why. And I had to laugh because I got the credits. I'm like, this is a cool sequence at the end of this. Like, satisfying. You know, I like killing these people who really fucking suck. In this, who have been irritating me the whole game, and then the game just like, haha, you're gay, you didn't like looking at titties in the video game. And I was like, man, you guys, you fucking guys, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Rockstar.
This is also extremely dated, not just because of its politics or whatever and having the, you know, the gay stuff there, but like, I don't know, this was not meant to be a time capsule, but just like the utter disdain that this has for hipsters, as if that was a funny or innovative thing.
Well, hipsters and like mindfulness therapy, you know, therapy, mindfulness, kindness, like all of these things that are very in vogue right now because, you know, we've kind of gotten on board with fix your heart or die. Like it's a good thing. It is very, very into just sitting back and be like, haha, that's gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really like Dermot. There's a real Dermotness to the writing of this.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Just really sucks. You know, in general, it's real bad. And I got my best team on it. I was asking a bunch of people about this, and I kind of consulted some experts, did a little research. I think this game might be a little misogynist. it's
okay. All right.
Checking with a lot of people.
Okay.
But I think it maybe doesn't like women.
Okay. Yeah. Just the way that
they're sluts.
They're entirely at the margin.
They love money. They're sluts. They're really shallow.
It's bad when the wife cheats, but the husband can, and it's okay.
Yeah. A lot of just, you know, the climax of the therapy thing with Michael standing up on the couch yelling at his wife to suck his dick. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The clues were there, and I probably should have picked it up earlier, but I think it might be a little bit misogynist.
I like the Kaiser Soze realization moment, but it just plays the entire game from front to back.
I got a 50-hour long play. The recap.
Just like, oh yeah, no, we're not like, there was no like one piece of evidence that we're highlighting. It's just the entire thing.
Yeah, it's not good in that respect.
Yeah, and like, just not to be tedious or SJWs or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Like, not to be whatever people, but like, it's bad. Like, it's not good behavior.
It's bad, but it's also boring. It's hack. And also, that's not even SJW shit. Like, women exist and play video games.
True. Yeah.
I don't want to, like, you know, like, if a game is just like half the population's fucking dumb sluts, like, that matters. That's not SJW stuff. That just fucking sucks. Have you met a woman? They're awesome. You know, and some of them suck. They're just people. You know, got my team on it, Rockstar.
But Butterfield here, just white knighting women.
Yeah, they're not going to fuck you, bro. I know, my wife won't let them.
Actually, you know, you could just fucking grow up.
Yeah,
grow up.
Grow up is how I felt about all of the treatment of women in this game. I had a very funny, at the end of the credits, I wanted to save my game because I figured it auto-saved, but I was like, going to go save. Mm-hmm. And I was in Trevor. I go back to my house, and that's when his mom shows up. I didn't play those missions during an epilogue.
Okay.
But his mom, who had like molested him before the canonical and stuff. And I was like, nope. And just quit in the middle of the thing. It's like, I don't need to see how they're treating this character.
Yeah, no, not at all. But yeah, that's the dialogue. That is the jokes or whatever. In the broadest strokes, as like a crime story,
it's good.
I like this. It's good.
It's real good. Yeah. I would love to see a crime movie with this basic plot. And also, crime is cool.
Yeah.
You know, crime time. Like, you know, you get crime, and the secret ingredient is crime.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Crime is awesome.
Yes.
Give me crime. So Rockstar North began developing this in 2008, the same year that saw the release of GTA 4. Mm-hmm. 5 years of development, it had more than 1,000 people on staff and cost $265 million.
So a scrappy independent production that had long odds to succeed attention in the market.
Yeah, we figured it's our job to discoverability and curation is one of our jobs. So,
you know, we want to give a platform. This made it the most expensive game ever developed at the time. It has since been surpassed. That is a really interesting Wikipedia article, actually. Just most expensive video games ever made, surpassed by Cyberpunk 2070, Modern Warfare 2, the most recent one, and then Star Citizen, which has not been released but is still coming out.
Wild that Modern Warfare 2 costs more than this as a thing that's such a much smaller product. You know, like, even though, like, I know those have long lives and multiplayer and everything, I'm not just thinking of the single player, but it's not the gigantic all forces lifestyle, you know, live service thing that this is.
Yes.
The team did a lot of extensive research on LA, apparently concluded that it fucking sucks. So they made this game. They consulted all kinds of people, law enforcement, and then gangs as well, to help shape the world.
Yes.
And they had this idea for having three protagonists very early on in San Andreas. That was originally going to be part of that game.
Yes.
But they didn't do it for obvious reasons. You know, the tech wasn't there. It was a core part of this game from the very beginning of it.
Right. The idea to make this about bank robbers and to have these heists sprang from a mission in GTA 4, that is good. Like, it's good enough in that largely forgettable game for me to remember it being good. The three-leaf clover mission, where you rob a bank with the Irish gang. There's like, oh yeah, like that, like, let's expand on that. People seem to really go with it.
Yeah. Bank robbing rocks.
Yes.
It's super cool. There's a, I want to give a quick shout out. There's a YouTube channel called Insider. That does, like, you know, infotainment shit that I'll watch while eating breakfast. And they have this series called How Crime Works, where they take people and they interview them about it. So it's like, this is a bank robber. This is a jewelry thief. This is a money launderer. This is a meth lab cook. And they talk about their story and then how they got caught.
Yeah.
And it's great. Fascinating to see all the, like, I can watch this stuff for eternity. Like, it's really, really fun to watch. I highly recommend, you know, a guy infiltrated the Hell's Angels for like 10 years.
Nice.
There's a thing about, like, how the Yakuza works. There's like a former Yakuza member and shit. It's real good. So this is the first GTA game to have its own score. This was overseen by Ivan Pavlovich, with contributions from many different artists, including Tangerine Dream.
Which is wild. I forgot that. And then you're watching the opening, credits, and wait, Tangerine Dream, kick ass.
Oh No, The Alchemist, Woody Jackson, Flying Lotus, and DJ Shadow. Speak Fame, all doing themes and music.
And each character has their own musical style, you know, to their score, with their own influences, things like that. This was vindicating for me because I'm playing Trevor's missions. I'm like, man, that slide guitar, they're straight up doing a Queens of the Stone Age riff on this, right? Like, that's what it is. And then, yes, that is very specifically cited as that. So cool.
There's extensive motion capture for the actors in this. Sean Fortano, who played Franklin, nearly left production because of difficulties around this. And this was before he even knew he was working on a GTA game.
That was wild. Rockstar will like hire people and they will get far into production before they know that they are working on Grand Theft Auto.
That's very funny, but also Rockstar has like two series.
Yep.
That they make. I'm imagining, like, being the guy who's doing all these motion captures for, like, drive-bys and stick-ups and stuff and be like, I wonder what type of game I'm in. You know, is this going to be Table Tennis 2? Like, which Rockstar property am I? Are they rebooting the Warriors? You know,
speaking of Sean Fontano just a little bit of authenticity here. Note around the N-word. If you play this game, you are going to hear the N-word a lot.
Thousands and thousands of times.
Yeah.
Enough to make this podcaster legitimately pretty uncomfortable at points.
It is not it is not used by white people directed at black people.
Yes. One of them does call somebody his N-word, which is also a thing that I think is you shouldn't do in real life, but that's as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Rockstar was actually at first pretty adamant about not using it. They instead wrote the script with the word mate instead because they're Scottish. But when they got the actors in, you know, particularly the black actors, they had great latitude to change the dialogue to make it feel more authentic and more natural. This included liberal use of the N-word. Yeah, you know, referring to each other. Yes. The primary contributors to this. Primary contributors were the actors for Franklin and Lamar, Sean Fontano and Insling Johnson. Most of their dialogue was improvised. They're like, okay, well, you know, we're just going to loose script this. You guys know how this should sound. Make it happen. And that actually ends up making this some of the, to me, the most engaging dialogue to listen to in the game. Discomfort around the N-word aside.
It's definitely the most naturalistic. Yeah. Sounding for me, and this, I think that I'm in the minority here. Like, most people really love this dialogue, so much so that it's become a meme thing. Yeah, yeah. There's like YouTubes that are just the voice actors,
Lamar Rose, you know, Franklin,
doing this stuff. To me, it was it didn't have enough content to it, I guess. Like, I was more interested in the plot, and a lot of this dialogue doesn't move it around, it's just two people giving each other shit. And I, you know, again, I don't know if this is popular or not either, but I hated Lamar. I was like, I couldn't get over the fact that it's like, yeah, this guy sucks. He just keeps doing dumb crimes and he's going to get himself killed. I don't know why these two people like each other. I don't know why they're hanging out. Like, the lack of humanity ruined that for me.
Yeah.
I love people giving each other shit. That, you know, friendly the dozens is really fun for me, but I have to believe the affection. And I just didn't believe the affection.
Yeah. To me, it's entirely on the back of Sling Johnson's performance on him. Like, Lamar sucks. He's not just the performance was charismatic. That carried a lot of weight for me on that.
Huge sales, nearly perfect reviews, tons of awards. This is what happens with these big games that they do. Rockstar does. Critics did have some things to say. They brought attention to the game's sexism and homophobia, transphobia, all of those things, which are all incredibly true in this game.
Like, are definitely,
if you didn't see the title of this, we're gonna be discussing that stuff. We already talked about characters doing sex assaults and stuff. That will continue. That is a part of this game.
In the gamers are babies corner, I didn't realize I didn't see this when it was happening, but it's fucking ridiculous. Gamers, capital G, started a change.org petition to get Carolyn Pettit fired from GameSpot for pointing out the game's misogyny.
Go to hell, gamers, for doing that. This doesn't, the most expensive game ever made doesn't need your defense. These scrappy little underdogs here from one person saying that it did a thing you didn't, that you don't agree with. Very frustrating. That sucks.
It's not misogynist, and it's okay if it is, and it's cool to be misogynist anyway.
The fact that you said it should make you fired. This was, released in 2013. That's a year before the peak of Gamergate stuff. This definitely reminds you of the dark times. Not that things are like super, super better now. I don't mean that.
Gamergate broke the tape. It's the fucking oxygen. It's in the water now.
Yeah. But it was a time in which shit like that was happening on the regular. Rockstar responded to this in some constructive ways, which is good. There used to be a lot of drag queen caricatures in the city with lots of dialogue about it that was very transphobic. This was scaled back. Which is good.
They only appear around bars, in particular ones, and they remove that dialogue. That is good, and that was a result of efforts on the part of LGBT groups.
You can still walk up to fat characters and press a button to call them fat. So it's not like they've arrived.
No,
you don't quite have to I like this game. We're going to talk some sugar about it. The thing I want everyone to take away from this, by no means do you have to hand it to Rockstar.
No.
Like, I will never hand it to them.
It's an instance where a shittier the shittier team, shittier people, whatever, you know, shittier company would have doubled down on it. Yeah. You know,
Of course they could have done less, but they could have done so much fucking more.
They could have made it worse, but they made it slightly better, but not better enough. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There were plans for expansions for this, but these were all shelved, instead of, focusing on the multiplayer component, Grand Theft Auto Online, which has become a like its own thing.
Yes.
This is a huge thing. This is a lifestyle game for many people, which is wild because Grand Theft Auto 5 generally positions itself as that kind of thing, like a Skyrim. You know, like you can just spend as much time in this as you want. GTA Online takes that and doubles down on it.
Yeah.
You know, it has, it's where all their attention goes. The player base of that has eclipsed the GTA 5 player base, and this game was already huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's saying a lot. I haven't fucked around with it.
Nope.
I don't know anything about it. I know that it creates all kinds of fascinating ecosystems of weirdos, like servers where you have to follow the law, servers where you like get recruited in real gangs that they make together. Not real gangs like in real life, but they make gangs and like loyalty is a thing and like huge RP, just the nerdiest shit that's ever been. In the world. It's like, fun to read about, but I couldn't I wouldn't do it with your hands.
I intended to get in at least to see a little bit like how the opening of this was structured. Just didn't have time. If I do it between when we record this part and when we record the next part, I will report back. Might not though, because I have other stuff to play. But that is so beyond the scope of what this show can do. Like there needs to be like a dedicated historiography of that.
It would be a podcast. It'd be a like a weekly check-in podcast, and probably exists.
Yeah.
You know, and more power to them, assuming they're not chuds. You know, that is a cool idea. It's just our thing has always been like, we don't have time to dedicate our lives to one of these things. We're dedicating our lives to all of them.
No.
Instead. But yeah, so just if we're like, oh, they fix this in online or they do more with this online, happy to know that, but don't expect it to be covered.
Right.
And be nice if you point it out. We don't, we're telling you right now, we don't know. GTA 5 has been re-released for each console. With upgrades and changes. This keeps the game available, keeps the GTA Online money train rolling, and has those improvements and edits and stuff.
Yeah.
I played this. They gave it out at Epic. It was an Epic giveaway one month. So that is how I had it. I've had it for like a year and a half or something, and just was waiting for an excuse to play it for the show.
So. Yeah, this is on Game Pass as well, at least for the Xbox Series S, maybe Xbox One as well. That's how I played it. So,
yeah, if you are in the mood for this kind of shit and you can stomach all of the Rockstar-ness, it's a fun time.
Yes.
Those are big caveats. Again, I definitely don't want to tell anybody from an oppressed group or a woman that like, hey, you have to just swallow a bunch of additional misogyny, you know, to play a fun video game. Fun video games aren't rare.
Yeah.
You can play fun video games without dealing with that shit. But I had a real good time with this. Just getting into recommendation shit before we spoil everything that happens into it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're somehow like me, you know, if you're the second to last person in the world who hasn't played this, I thought it was pretty fun.
So let's get into it.
Yeah. We start with a prologue here. A little bit of a tutorial of a bank robbery going wrong. This is in Ludendorff, North Yankton. Kind of a small town here.
Yeah.
Michael and Trevor are leading a crew, and the police show up a lot earlier than expected.
Yeah. Things are going wrong. Not the plan. Michael knocks out one of the security guards. And says this load-bearing line that apparently this actor hates repeating because he doesn't like the line. Tells him, you forget 1,000 things every day. Make sure this is one of them.
I don't know why you'd hate that necessarily. It's a weird characterization. In the universe, this is from an old movie. Michael's going to meet the guy who made that movie.
Yeah.
You eventually, and there's tons of foreshadowing in this.
Yes.
Michael is acting weird
during
this. We race to this this place where a chopper is supposed to extract us, but a Fed ends up shooting Michael. This is not supposed to happen. Trevor takes a human shield and is not going to run off. He's not going to abandon Michael. There's a bunch of characterizations happening here.
Yeah.
Michael begs him to run off.
Yeah.
You know, he eventually runs off into the snow.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to a little while later, where Michael is looking at a funeral from the distance. And then we cut to Michael in California. He's recounting this story. He's talking to his therapist about what a weak piece of shit his son is.
Yeah.
He hates his son, who is actionably Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Actionably Jonah Hill, voiced by Michael Tamborelli. Mm-hmm. Little Pete.
Little Pete, who also has a Jonah Hill voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the therapist, again, making fun of therapy, saying, you know, mm-hmm. a sense of overriding futility is a vital part of the process. Embrace it. You know, and, you know, are you sure your check's going to clear? You know, this is going to really cost extra money.
He really cares about when time is up.
Yes.
He is a bad therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut. Michael gives some directions there to Franklin Lamar. He's outside his therapist. Franklin Lamar walked by. They're like, we're looking for a specific house. He gives them directions.
Yes.
We switch to them. Mm-hmm. Franklin, they're kind of figuring out what they're doing. They're repossessing cars.
Yeah.
Of a kind. Like, it's shady repossessing.
Yeah. It's basically loan fraud is what they're doing. And Franklin looks down on it. He does not, you know, like that, you know, the job involves stealing cars, right?
Yeah.
You know, we kind of sneak up along this house and then steal these two sports cars, getting an introduction to the driving here. You know, we follow Lamar, we're like racing them, and then we end up getting pursued by cops, right?
Very funny. I did not know the rhythm of losing cops in this game. I was looking for a paint shop because they don't really explain that. I ended up driving way out into the fucking desert. and then like climbing this switchback and then just parking at the top of it. Liv was watching, and I was like, I don't know what I'm fucking doing, and then had to like haul ass all the way back to the city. It was real dumb. We get to the dealership here, and the owner is tricking somebody into taking a loan by calling them racist.
Right.
Is a fat kid named Jimmy. This will come up later. Lamar is like, hey, do you want to watch? You know, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna ride home. Excuse me. And Lamar says, go get a haircut. You got a yee-ass haircut.
Yeah.
It's this is the yee-ass.
This is the famous scene. This is the meme. And he's basically pointing out, like, hey, go customize your character with your yee-ass haircut. Which, if you told me that was them trying to slip fake slang in to make fun of people who didn't know, I would believe it.
Yeah. It does pop up if you look at the Urban Dictionary, GTA 5 is the first.
Yeah.
So I don't and the only entry that comes after that doesn't refer to GTA 5 is dated 2018.
Oh,
so yeah. This might be some fake slang, I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be a fun trick. It'd be a very fun trick to do.
Yeah. Simeon, who is Franklin's boss, calls after you go get your haircut. He has another repossession for you to do. You go there. And we learn that Franklin won Employee of the Month. You know, and Lamar is jealous. But Franklin, his characterization of just being, man, whatever, to every single thing that's said to him starts here.
Yeah.
Hates it and hates everything. This doesn't go away even when he starts making real money. He's really one note. Lamar is very jealous. We have to repossess a bike from a house in Vespucci Beach.
Venice Beach. Yeah.
Yep.
And when you get there, the bike is gone. You know, we roll back into this alleyway and open up the garage. It's not there. You know, just out on the way in, the characters are marking like, hey, you know, isn't this Aztecas? Like, isn't this Aladdin gang? This area. I'm like, yeah, they box us in and attack us. And this is a big shootout to get out and then chase the guy on his bike.
Yep. And then Lamar, Franklin's mad at Lamar for starting the shootout, and Lamar steals the bike.
Yes.
Our boss then tells us to go repossess this SUV that the fat kid, Jimmy got, Jimmy DeSanta. Yeah. This is different than Michael's last name in the prologue.
Right.
We sneak in this house, and it's just this absolutely awful family yelling at each other, and just being real gross. To each other. The sister, who is like a dumb valley girl, says, "Your mom, Jimmy said I have a massive gaper." He's talking about his sister's pussy being very wide.
Yes.
In the scenario.
Yeah.
Like a train tunnel pussy.
Yeah, and you know? Jimmy is just constantly lying on his bed. He's a huge pothead. He's playing a parody a Call of Duty. Yeah, and
calling
just
people gay slurs. Yes. Nonstop.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Gay. You know, all of that. And yep. just getting a real sense for just how awful all of these people are as we sneak into the garage and steal this SUV. And as you're driving, and this is real cool, the camera just kind of like very slowly pulls in as Michael gets up from the back seat.
Mm-hmm. And puts a gun to your head. Cool moment. And this is where, you know, that little bit of non-shitness that Michael has, you know, he's not just going to execute you.
No.
Which is what Trevor would do. He says, listen, I know you're working credit fraud. Take me to your boss.
Yeah.
You get there as you approach, and he says, just go right through the door. Mm-hmm. Slam right through the window. You do that, we switch to Michael, and we beat up his boss.
Right. Here.
Now we have Michael and Franklin in the picture. Trevor doesn't appear until Act 2.
No. Yeah.
So we switch to Michael for this mission, father and son. Michael is day drinking by the pool. His daughter and wife are screaming at each other. Franklin walks up to him. Michael had said, I'll buy you a beer sometime. I'll teach you about crime. And he's like, I'm here, you know, show me how the world works.
Yeah. And Michael kind of does the, you know, like kind of goes back on it a little bit. Says like, hey, I am an old man. I'm retired. You know, just nothing about this. Right.
Here's the thing real quick. I want to mention every character in the game calls Michael fat the entire game. He's not fat whatsoever.
No.
He just has a body. He's not cut. But he's not fat, and every single character says it. Even characters on the street are just like, get your fat ass out of here.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about? This guy's got like a 36 waist.
Yeah,
you know what is happening.
Yeah, it is. Like, what if dysmorphia worked the other way?
Yeah, it's really bizarre, especially after playing San Andreas, and I ballooned my CJ up.
Oh yeah.
Made him huge. It was real fun.
Big boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. It was cool. I was just like, yeah, you eat all the fast food you want, man.
I like you having this feeder gainer relationship with CJ.
Back at it again, I guess. That's right, little man. You'll be back at it until I tell you to stop. Franklin is depressed about how bleak Michael is here. You know, Michael says, okay, let's go to a bar. Yeah. As we're doing it, we get a call. Jimmy tried to sell the family yacht over when his dad. His son's awful. Mm-hmm. The people didn't give him the money, though. They stole it. He's trapped in the yacht, and they're speeding down the interstate. So we have to go catch up to the boat. And this is where Franklin proves his loyalty and usefulness to crime dad.
He's like, I'll come with you. Yeah.
He jumps on, and we have to get under to catch him. This is the first time where you have to drive and shoot. Mm-hmm. This is really difficult, I find. unless you're Franklin, because if you go into the bullet time, that works for shooting while driving as well.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise though, you have to try to steer and shoot, and you're using the same stick for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very difficult to do.
It's real pat your head and your belly at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. This is the first mission that feels appreciably different than what we've done in previous games, you know. And it, like, I think this is cool. I like how, you know, dynamic and cinematic, to use buzzwords or whatever it is, to like get the convertible up under the boom so that Jimmy can drop into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is more than just run this guy off the road and make their car explode and then get away. Like, this is like a scene. This feels crafted, right?
Yeah, much more so than previous games, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. But the car breaks down because of this firefight. We can't catch up to the yacht. Forget it, man. It's gone.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to go and drive the car back to get repaired. Right.
Yep. This introduces us to the customization system. We go there, we get all the customization options. Yeah. Franklin drives Jimmy home, you know, says, hey, take it easy on your dad. And Jimmy goes, hey, man, you know, if you ever want to hang out. I also call myself like a gangster, and I'm a huge poser, but if you want to play darts, we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I tried this just to try the system. Mm-hmm. Every single time I tried it, he wasn't available.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on. I never got a hangout to work, which felt like a meta joke about GTA 4 to me.
It did.
I don't think that's the case. I think you can do hangouts in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, cause people who haven't played GTA 4, my main turnoff for that game was the save structure and the mission structure. For a lot of people, it was that characters were constantly calling you to hang out
and guilting you for not. Yeah.
And your relationship meter would go down.
yeah.
with them. So like it was a weird game about being socially too popular, like that Mr. Show sketch of like, you know, supermodels will call you now, and then like once you turn it on, you can't stop it. And supermodels are calling you constantly, like on payphones that you're next to and stuff. You'll never escape from supermodels. Yeah, it's like that, except it's your cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. The Nico, my cousin, yeah. The meme. Yeah. Get a small mission here where we're introduced to Franklin's dog, Chop. Lamar brings over his dog Chop, and then we try and fail to kidnap this OG Bala, the gang from San Andreas, I believe. That's the yep. Grove Street. Is that the
It's one of the gangs.
Yes.
Whenever Lamar and Franklin are doing stuff with the local gangs, that is tied into history of San Andreas.
Yes. Yeah. But they're gonna kidnap and hold this guy named D for ransom, but that goes wrong.
Yeah. Yep. So Michael catches his wife fucking her tennis instructor, and he runs away. I'll comp the session, bro. He's saying to him because he's a LA guy. Mm-hmm. So you and Franklin's there, chase him down. We find him in this nice house in the hills. And Michael's whole thing is he has this anger problem where he overreacts to everything. So he winches the house, the stilt that's supporting it, and pulls down the house.
Yeah. And Franklin's like, all right, well, I'll attach this, but it seems like a bad idea, man.
Yeah, whatever. I guess we're doing this. Like, that's everything he says to every single thing in the entire game.
Yeah,
So we do this. We pull it down. We speed away. And you get a call from a tennis instructor and a woman. He's like, that wasn't my fucking house. I'm a tennis instructor.
Yeah.
You know, that's another woman I'm fucking. That house belongs to a crime boss, Martin mm-hmm. Madraza. Yeah. So Madraza sends his men after you.
Yeah.
Shoot. Yeah. And this one is one of these things where you can switch actively in the mission.
Yeah. I love this. I love being able to make this kind of dynamic change. It gets much more involved and much better later on. Mm-hmm. But even here, just having it as an option, like, okay, I prefer to shoot. I prefer to drive. And the AI generally does a very good job at whatever you are not doing.
I don't think the AI can fail in whatever it's doing. A weird trick that I end up doing later in some of the missions are a little bit harder, is mm-hmm. that if a character was close to dying, I would just switch out of them mm-hmm. because I knew the game wasn't going to kill them when I didn't have control of them.
Yeah.
You know, and the big shootout at the end of the game where you control all three people, like that is a pro tip.
Yes.
Yeah. You get back to Michael's house and Martin Madrazo pulls up to you behind you and starts wailing on Michael with a baseball bat. You know, the house belonged to his girlfriend. You owe him $2.5 million for a rebuild of the house. And Michael, despite being rich, he's like the poor rich.
Yeah.
You know, he's cash broke.
Yeah. He's mortgaged to his ears. That's how he says it. Yeah.
Yep. He only knows one way to make money. So he has to get in contact with his old friend named Lester to do robberies.
Right. Yeah. And so you roll up to his house in this little neighborhood, and we're introduced to Lester. Yes. Lester is another major character. He's like he's mission control. Yeah. He is the brains of the operation.
It allows them to make ableism jokes. Previous to this, they could only make gay jokes, fat jokes, women jokes, trans jokes. But now they can do ableism jokes, including Trevor, the best character in the game, calling him wheels and being like, why do we bring a handicapped guy on this mission? Like, you don't have to hand it to Rockstar.
It's an equal, here's the thing. They're an equal opportunity offender. You can't criticize them for making fun of you because I'm just making fun of everybody.
Yeah. They're putting the whole system on trial. Isn't everybody stupid? So we have to go meet with Lester. And otherwise, I like Lester as a character. I just don't like how people treat him.
that's the thing. Yeah. Like he
has a wasting disease. It's scary shit. He has like a wasting disease. At one point, Trevor's like, "What does a wasting disease mean? You're wasting my time." And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man! Like, give him a break.
he's literally holding this whole operation together. What are you doing?
Yeah. So why? What is the motivation behind being a dick right here?
Yeah,
you know.
Lester, because he knows everything. He knows that Michael isn't really dead, right? He's been keeping tabs on him. He lives here. So we go and meet him at his house. Basically, we're going to have to go meet him. That's just where this is left off.
Yep. We switch over. Michael also does a thing. He comes in. Jimmy's watching TV too loud. and Michael's watching his old gangster movies. So, of course, Michael throws a chair through the TV and breaks it.
Yes.
And then they have this thing where, again, you want to be... weirdly, this game would be more strong if Michael was just an asshole and his family wasn't awful. Yep. His family is fucking awful. Mm-hmm. Because then his son is like, man, why can't we just hang out? And he's like, all right, let's hang out. Let's go ride bikes on the beach. And what's happening here is Jimmy is doing this to make his dad mad to get revenge on his gaping sister.
Yeah.
They go to the pier. They ride bikes. And then get to this yacht. He's like, yeah, Tracy's over there, actually. She's shooting a movie with some drug dealers and porno producers.
Yeah.
So he knew this would make his dad mad. He just wants his sister to get killed, yeah, I guess, yeah, for gaping too much. he put punished gape into YouTube and got the least likely result.
Yeah, I'm feeling lucky. It got really lucky.
Oh shit. So we swim out there to go beat up some guys and then steal jet skis and kidnap our daughter from her friends.
You ruined my life. Because women.
Yeah, and he's protecting her virtue because she can't make choices on her own, because that's, you know,
yeah,
how this works. Both kids hate you when you get back.
Yeah. So we go and meet Lester. And, you know, he's got this little hacker den that he works out of. And he says, hey, I'll help you if you help me. Now, Lester, he's a bit of a tech vigilante,
a white hat
kind of guy.
Yeah, white hat hacker. Thing. So he actually has a moral compass. Like, he's trying to punish people who are bad.
Right. And he, in particular, has it out for the kind of like Facebook Mark Zuckerberg stand-in in this. Yes. Because there is no subtlety in this universe. Facebook is just called Life Invader.
Yeah. Come on. It sounds like a video game. So he's like, you know, you have to get, and this is some really broad satire. Like, you have to fit in, get a, you know, some cargo shorts and a backpack and stuff. And he's like, cargo shorts and a backpack are going to make me seem like a cool tech guy. He's like, we've seen these people. It would, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, okay, guys, maybe this might've played better in 2013.
Yeah.
As is this feel, you know, you get there, like you show up, you help this programmer and they're like, you know, pull up a beanbag chair. Enjoy some pinball.
It's a big kindergarten kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a real thing. Like a Google campus or whatever, where it's like, you know, engineer your way into.
Try our slide. Also, you're a 1099 contractor. Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's a real thing. It feels too, you know, kind of toothless.
Yeah.
So you sabotage this phone prototype. You don't know what you do to it. That's the thing.
Just like, hey, go and attach this thing to the phone.
Yeah.
And then you go home. I've got a problem with this, not because of what happens, because like whatever. So you go home and Lester says, like, hey, you know, call this number when it seems like the time is right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting down in Michael's living room and you're watching this basically like Apple keynote kind of thing where he's talking to the investors, you know, this guy. He pulls out the phone, and what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to know that I call this number like at any point when the phone is out. Mm-hmm. And then that starts the thing where it will explode and then blow off his head. Right. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for a moment when he would put it to his ear to answer the phone. That does not happen. You can fail this at that point. It doesn't say like, hey, when he pulls out the phone, it just says, it says something like, you know, when it seems like the time is right, call this.
Yeah.
And it so like I
said,
had to,
you know, when the time is right, it probably could just like call during the presentation.
Yeah. So I had to redo this. I had to rewatch the whole first 2/3 of this little keynote making jokes that about sucks. Like, you know, like we're going to charge 2 times as much and it's 2% faster. And yeah, this will map all of your possessions.
Like
the fastest iPhone ever. Well, I fucking hope so.
Yeah, it's the new one. Why would you make a slower one? Colossal dicks. You kill Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, in this. Again, it feels a little extreme, to do this. We cut over to Franklin. Franklin's aunt is very subject to the misogyny in this game. She is reinvigorating her femininity. So she has a screaming session. She does like tape back the night stuff and gets told to shut up, you know, yeah. And all that like, stuff. Like, you know,
we're going on an empowerment walk. Like,
yeah, they're just parodies, and then they're being told to shut down. Like, you know, somebody wrote this was just like, man, I wish those feminists would shut up. Yeah. And then they made a game where it happens.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like this. He's in some kind of situation where him and his aunt both own this house, but they hate each other.
Yeah.
Again, a world where liking people is not allowed.
Right.
So he goes out with Lamar and his friend Stretch, who just got out of prison. Stretch used to be, you know, he's an old gangster.
Yeah.
And they don't like each other.
No.
Franklin doesn't like Lamar. And we get a shotgun ahead of this meetup. This turns out to be a trap set by the ballers because of the kidnapping we did.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I don't like Lamar is because he's a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. He's constantly doing shit like this.
Yeah.
And when you call it, and the characters comment on it, which I don't think excuses it, but he doesn't have a good explanation. He's just like, man, this is how I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you it's know like, me. Well, that, like that answers yeah. things. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? And then I'm like, why would Franklin go along with this? And then Franklin goes, I guess, whatever. And then just does it. And that's the entire Franklin experience. Every single mission. It's so maddening. He's the worst character in this game by like a lot, I think.
Oh, man. But yeah, you get in this shootout like at a factory where this meetup was supposed to go.
And then we do our first heist. And this is great.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah. So
it makes the boring shit fun.
Uh-huh.
Like this first one, you have to case the store. You know, you drive up there with Luster, and you get Google glasses, and you have to go take pictures of the security and ventilation. This is not super scintillating gameplay.
No,
you know, like
no.
What you're doing is just aiming and shooting, but it just feels very cinematic and cool to put in the work in a criminal procedural way.
Yeah.
Like joy in the process.
Yes, that is a very good way to put it. I like the conversation that you have with the clerk, right? Where it's like, okay, you need to stand by the, we need an excuse to stand by the high value cases. So like, get up there, and then it does
go make
feel
small talk, and like I like that Michael's good at it.
Uh huh.
You know, I don't like this character very much, but this is characterization.
Yes.
You know, it didn't need to be there. Like he's back in his element, and that's going to be his little arc here, is him feeling more alive now that he's back in crime time.
Yeah. This is him kind of getting his groove back a little bit, at least on this job, right? Before this kind of reopens a whole bunch of stuff from his past. But you've got to like climb up a construction site to get a look at the roof, right? To say like, okay, is there any option this way? Through the process of this, we learn a little bit of backstory here, and some information about Michael and his deal kind of came up. So like Luster knows, hey, Michael, like the reason you're still alive and the reason you're here and have a different name, you had this bribery deal. Like you had a deal with an FIB agent.
Which is just the FBI. Yeah. I wish they just said FBI. That can't have been illegal to do that. They talk about Trevor. He's like, oh yeah, Trevor's probably dead. He's like, well, I don't know. Last I heard, he went off the grid after that job. We don't know if he's dead. He's on the cover of the game, but yeah.
I really like how they talk about Trevor at this point in the game. Like he's the fucking Baba Yaga.
It's very Baba Yaga. Like the literal Baba Yaga, not even John Wick. Like he's a chicken house on legs. So we go back to the garment factory and we get our first setup for the heist. And this, again, full of promise to me. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to train up these people, do all these things. That part doesn't really pay off, but it's still very fun.
No.
You have two approaches for each job. There's the smart, quiet one. You use knockout gas. And then a loud one where you just come in with guns. For the most part, I chose the smart one for just about everything. Because that sounds cool. I think I might have done the dumb one for the last one because it sounded more fun.
What do you consider to be the dumb one for the last one?
I did the fake robbery and then drilled in.
Same. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it'd be fun if we did more different ones so we could talk about different approaches, but there's one of them that seems more appealing to me.
Yes.
Pretty obviously, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we select our crew. This is always a trade-off between how much of a cut they get and the skill that they have. The general heuristic for this is you really don't want to cheap out on a gunman. Hackers, like even the worst hacker in this, which is the engineer who you meet with at Life Invader at Facebook, even he will give you enough time to completely clean the store out. Right.
They tell you what to do in this, which I don't like.
Yeah.
They don't just tell you how it works. Like Lester's like, okay, you're doing the quiet route. If you want more time, choose a good hacker. But since you're not going to be shooting, you probably don't need a good gunman. mm-hmm. here. And then I did that. I chose because I didn't know that I wouldn't need money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I chose a bad gunman. Mm-hmm. No shooting happened. He just like crashed his bike. He's a bad driver, you know. But these are kind of false choices, I guess, is my point, which is a bummer. Like the metaphor of what you're doing here and the flavor of it is so fun. I wish that there were more consequential choices to this.
Yeah.
Any of this stuff. Doing the quiet version, we have to get a pest control van. So you go and steal one. It's out at the port. So you just long drive. And then you have to get a courier truck that has these gas grenades in it. This is on the move, so you have to chase it down. This is a really cool little bit of, again, simulationist expressive play. In previous GTAs, I feel like the truck would just be invincible until a point where the game wanted you to do a thing. Mm-hmm. Here, it's on a route, and you can just create a blockade.
Yeah.
Like, I parked two cars, T-intersectioned it, and then just made, like, a Raider stop, basically. and just kidnap the truck. That was an option. Whereas previous GTA games, you would do that, and then they would show a cutscene of the truck approaching, and the cars you would set up would disappear.
Yeah,
it was the most frustrating thing that happened in the world. It happened every other game previous to this one.
My approach to this, you can with trucks, if they're carrying something, you can ride up behind them and then shoot the doors. And then if you do enough damage to the back of it, whatever you're trying to get out of it will just fall out of it. And then you grab it. So that's how I did this.
You had different options. I took the truck.
We
do the job. You climb up onto the roof as Franklin, and you throw gas grenades into the ventilation section, and then Michael and the team go in and you bash cases. You're doing a quick smash and grab inside the store to steal as much as you can.
I had plenty of time because I sprung for the good hacker.
You got 90 seconds. Plenty of time to do it. When you leave, there is a cop there that doesn't like that the getaway bikes are parked there. So you smack him in the head and you say the line, you know, you forget 1,000 things a day, make sure this is one of them. And you escape on motorcycles. I cheaped out on the gunman as well, so he crashes, so we lose some of our loot. Again, that doesn't matter. But you escape through these tunnels. And then as Michael, you have to destroy the van.
Easy enough. Gotta put some bullets into the engine block, and then it'll blow up. Kind of seems like it's still evidence that something real fucked up happened here, but
yeah, the forensics in Los Santos aren't great. And you get back to the garment factory. Then we do our cut. Franklin, as Franklin, you go over to Michael's place, you celebrate the job, and then like the shoe drops. The FBI agent that Michael has been working with, Dave Norton, walks in. This guy has a weirdly good voice actor and facial capture performance.
It's really good.
He seems very real.
I like Dave.
Just like a tired.
He's so beleaguered.
droopy, you know? And he's just like, he knows it's you. This
it's
obviously
your
violates your deal. You're supposed to retire. This is good.
It's like he was covered in glory because he brought down the great Michael Townley. And if something precisely like Michael Townley starts happening, suddenly people are going to start asking questions about him. Right.
Yes. I don't have this. It's interesting. So I didn't read this as Michael has been bribing the agent. I had it as Michael and the agent had a deal. Michael would go into witness protection. The agent would get the credit for taking him down.
I wrote that down in precisely just as I was watching it. That's based on the deal was that Dave Norton could quote unquote kill Michael Townley
put him in witness protection.
So
as we're watching this news report, it cuts over. The cop says, it was real weird. The guy said a line. He said, you forget 1,000 days. Things a day, etc. We got to Trevor joylessly railing a woman. He looks sad. She looks sad. And he puts two and two together.
A robbery. Somebody saying this corny ass line, and here's Trevor in this trailer out in the desert, just an absolute shitbox. This is something. It's wild going and looking at like list of characters in this, like going on the TV Tropes, and then you see like, returning characters from GTA 4. It's real funny because like this is expected to be some kind of like huge revelation. Forgetting that, with a couple of exceptions, every GTA character is just a guy or just a lady. this woman that he's railing is a character from one of the Grand Theft Auto 4 expansions. We're supposed to from like
the Hunted and the Lost or whatever.
The Lost and the Damned. Yeah.
Yeah. Lost and the Damned. There's two GTA 4. There's that and the Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yes.
Were the two that came out. I remember reading about them. Mm-hmm. And the, they're really different apparently as well, which I just learned from context. Yeah. Like they're way wussier. Mm-hmm. So like Johnny, the leader of the Lost, comes out. He's looking for his girlfriend. This is one who Trevor has been having sex with. And Trevor psychs him out. He's like, you know, if I got to fuck something, I'll fuck you.
Yeah. You know? Like, oh, you're jealous. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and he's like, no, let's hug it out. And then he stomps him and beats the shit out of him. He does the Tuco thing where he gets mad at him for dying, you know, and then he chases down the Lost with Trevor's friends. I don't know if this is popular. I don't like Trevor's friends. I don't like Ron Wade. I find Wade deeply annoying and both of them too stupid to live.
Yeah. Ron is fine. I like his the bullying relationship that Trevor has with him. Wade, he talks way too much and way too slowly. And I can only tolerate that voice if it is Andy Merrill voicing Brack.
It is very much like a cartoon voice.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like a meth head juggalo.
Yeah.
Guy, but he's just this weird like person Trevor kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like it's implied later Trevor killed all of his friends and just kind of like adopted him.
Yes.
As a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then later he rapes and kills his you know, his
cousin's fiance.
Yeah. And then it's meant to be, that's you know, TV trope saying it best. There's like an awesome moment of heartwarming or whatever that he then fixes him up with unlimited lap dances. And just rock star. Damn you. So you chase them down and you clear out their camps, killing everyone. This is trying to show that Trevor has one man army. Like he's a special ability. Yeah. He can do this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And this is supposed to be one of those things like, oh man, if Trevor can kill these badass, you know, bikers from this, you know, it's establishing him as somebody who can kill like this huge threat.
Is again in TV tropes, like so an alien would show up and the fact that could fight Worf would tell you that's a serious alien.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you know he's still mad, so he has to go to the Aztecas, their gang who's also making meth, and push their leader into the river. A weird thing is you don't have to do this. You can stop pushing it. Which I'd never done.
No, it's not. I mean, if I'm role playing this, Trevor wouldn't stop, you know, Ortega is begging for his life. You know, Trevor's going to kill
him. He's an anger elemental.
Come on. Yeah. And then, you know, it says like, hey, Trevor Phillips Industries now in control of this desert, you know, taking down all the major players. And then sends Wade saying like, hey, you know, I know Michael Townley's alive. Go and find him. Find me a Michael Townley in Los Santos. Sending his stupidest friend to go do this, to go find this needle in this
haystack. And just, I will kill you if you don't do this or rape you. You know, it's Trevor's move.
Porque no los dos.
Porque no los dos. Porque no los dos at the same time. So then Trevor meets a Chinese investor, this guy who's very high with his translator at a bar because they're looking to get into the meth trade. Takes him on a tour of his meth lab there. When that happens, the Aztecas show up. So we have a big shootout. This is the first time you're doing a shootout where you're in a defensible location, which is kind of fun.
That's good.
You know, like, fun shooting.
Of Trevor's friends. So you're doing this alongside Chef. I like Chef. Chef is good. He ends up being a good gunman. But if you did not kill Ortega before, he will show up in this. He'll be leading the charge, is what it is, being kind of a tougher threat here, is my understanding.
Champion enemy.
Yeah. Trevor doesn't just want to control the drug trade. Trevor also wants to corner weapons. Yep. So when you go back home, Ron, your friend, he's a conspiracy theorist. This is well observed. Like they're like dropping Anunnaki and reptilians and stuff. Like, you know, he's full on like Project Camelot, Alex Jones kind of thing here.
Yeah. Trevor does that too. He calls people reptilians on the street. You can press a button to call people. There's a reptilian button.
So he's at the trailer and and the trailer has been ransacked. It's the remnants of the Lost who have done this. And Trevor in particular is very mad because they have broken his plastic statue of the superhero Impotent Rage. Because again, subtext does not exist.
Yes. Uh-oh. Yeah. So, yeah, once that happens, we have to go get a sniper rifle there and cover Ron as he tries to intercept weapons, a weapon shipment, mm-hmm. and an airstrip. Pretty gentle covering somebody with a sniper rifle weapon.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about GTA 5 is even when it does missions that in previous games were absolute fucking nightmares. Mm-hmm. Like there's a couple missions of like follow somebody, but don't follow them so closely.
Yeah.
They're just not bad. You know, like this is the kind of thing that can be a nightmare in video games when you're zoomed in, you can't see the full field. Here, Ron is constantly telling you where things are and you have a long period of time to go get to them. Like it's pretty easy, but it's cinematic, you know, it's just for the flavor. Like I prefer that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is prizing. Okay. Let's get you to do cool shit.
Yes. Right. Which I always prefer. You steal the planes with the shipments and then have to fly to a drop off point in the ocean. As we mentioned, like planes control a lot better in this than they did in previous games. Helicopters are a different story, but planes are pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I'm always doing tricks in the planes. I'm always doing barrel rolls.
So. Nonstop barrel rolls. You fly to this drop off point in the ocean, drop them off, and then when you buy back, come back, you automatically buy this airstrip. And they introduce the property buying mechanic. Trevor has an airstrip. There's a reason why he's a good pilot. He used to be an Air Force pilot.
Yes. Yeah. You know, kind of a traumatized veteran kind of thing with that. I like these missions.
He's not a veteran. He never got in. He got washed out.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's school. Right. Yeah. It's more interesting. He got psych-evaled out. Yeah.
He couldn't mass it. So he always wanted to be, but he couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The airstrip stuff is interesting. Like the plane one, you've got to like time the drop so that the cargo will get there. What's more fun is the ground smuggling. So if you get into this little dune buggy, you can drive these weapons, you know, to particular drop off points. It's neat not just because you're in a dune buggy and you're in this desert and it's real fun to do jumps and go fast. Mm-hmm. I say like a 5-year-old, but it's true.
It is true.
Yeah. But also like very specifically, if this dune buggy is on the road, you have a higher chance. Like if you're on the road for too long, you're going to get a wanted star on this and they're gonna start coming
after
you. It's
not street legal. Same thing with, four wheelers.
Yeah.
Which show up in the country. And those are fun to drive because really weirdly they have like a 0 point turning radius.
Oh yeah.
Or whatever thing would be where you literally turn like, you're driving Isaac and Binding of Isaac or something. You can turn on a penny.
Yeah.
You know, it's very weird.
And it's really fun to tear ass across the desert on a dune buggy or an ATV.
There's a whole part of this game that engages in the fun, vroom, vroom, go fast.
Yeah.
You know, element of video games. And that's real here.
That's valid.
Dirt bikes are really great. Like climbing hills, doing downhill races. And dirt bikes, like all that stuff feels pretty fun.
Yeah.
Anything off-road is really fun to drive.
Yeah. Which is why Trevor's truck is really good, the 4x4. Yeah.
Yeah. Each character, as I mentioned, has a signature vehicle. Franklin eventually gets the bike. He has a white car and a bike. He gets that bike that Lamar stole. He gives back. Lamar also at some point gives him his dog.
Yeah.
So there's a whole dog mechanic thing in this I never did. It kept going like, walk him. And then I would like try to walk him and nothing happened. I came back and be like, failed. I was like, what are you talking about?
I always felt bad because I would switch to Franklin, like get to go start a mission and he would bring Chop with him. I'm like, no, there are going to be bullets.
Well, and also I want to be on a motorcycle and you can't have Chop.
Yeah,
and eventually he can't keep up. And I was like, you know, sorry, Chop, whatever. You know, I just role-played it as Franklin. Are we doing this?
Man.
Whatever. and just left Chop to die. Chop is also, you know, this weird little humpy, you know, he's also a dog written by Rockstar. So don't get it twisted. He's not a good dog. And then Michael has just kind of like a luxury sedan.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, like an all arounder. But yeah, Trevor has a big off road truck. That's really fun and more sturdy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the deal with the Chinese investor, with Mr. Cheng, previously we had seen Cheng Jr., Cheng Sr., he has decided to back out of this deal with Trevor. He wants to cut him out entirely, corner the market for meth in this county. And instead has decided to work with the O'Neill brothers, this ridiculously huge family that lives near Trevor. on this big, like, you know, dilapidated estate or whatever, doing precisely the joke, which is Cletus's children, you know. Oh, yeah. Mary.
Rumor, yeah. Scout, you know, yeah. all their names. This is really fun, and this is a rarity in this game where you are given a choice of how to assault.
Yeah.
Something. You get a sniper rifle, and you can set up in a place, but this is a thing where you, like a hitman mission.
Mm-hmm.
You see them all around, and you can shoot them when they're not looking. You know, we have a silencer, so you can shoot people when other people are not looking, things like that. But you can, things can go to shit, and you are still in the game. It's not a fail state.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
There is a weird problem in this mission, though, that I noticed with the mapping system. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to indicate verticality.
Yeah.
So I had to get down to the lab. I had no idea where the fucking basement was in this house. I feel like I went through the house in every room like 20 times looking for this little bit. It's just tucked away in a corner behind a door. Mm-hmm. You get in the basement, and this introduces the jerry can, which is a gas can. You douse the lab in gas, and then you shoot it, and you can set it on flames, killing this entire family.
Right.
Because you don't want to do that. Wade figures out, Wade found a Michael DeSanta in Los Santos that matches the description. So Trevor's ready to go. We just had to make a quick stop just to do another mission.
Yeah.
Real weird. It's like they fast forward through everything that Trevor would have been doing during the first act of the game.
Uh-huh.
You do it all in a row at the end. Like one busy night.
But you know, you just, again, cornering the market in this area, there's still some lost hanging around, so we go to their trailer park, and this is tutorializing the remote charges. For all the world, it seems like they want you to sneak around. You've got vision cones on this. In reality, like, you do not need to get up close to these things at all. You can just throw the charges,
throw them from a real distance. A storm's happening during this, I think, that's scripted. It's very atmospheric. Remote charges are also great.
I love these
I use
things.
Them constantly. A plus addition to the assassination missions, like, really, really good.
You can throw them from the driver's seat of a car.
Yeah.
If you equip them before you get in. So, like, if the mission is like, hey, kill this guy who's running away from you, like, well, I could spend minutes, you know, plinking away at him and hoping that maybe a bullet goes through the back window and hits him in the head. Or I could just ride up beside him, throw this, and then he thinks he got away, and then kaboom. And then
it's real
done.
Fun. You take out all these trailers, you kill everybody. And then you take this really long drive down to the city while Wade tells you a story. This was a thing where, because of the checkpointing, I ended up having to do this twice. Just because I got to the end of it and it didn't save like what I thought was the end of it. I didn't get to the cousin's house. I got to the moment here we're going to talk about where they look at the city. Yeah. And I was, okay, I'm done for tonight. And then just had to do this whole thing again and hear this whole story again. A little frustrating. Yeah. Trevor explains his backstory to Wade. Grew up on the Canadian border. He was actually from Canada, but he's sensitive about it. Became good friends with Michael took him under his wing, but then Michael betrayed him.
There's something. So Stephen Ogg, I love this actor. Like, it's a delight. I mean, when I saw him show up in Better Call Saul, I was like, yay.
I haven't seen him in a lot of things other than that, but I like him a lot. What else is he in? What else?
The big one, he shows up in The Walking Dead, actually, too, as well. He's just like a character actor kind of guy. It's hard to come up with stuff, specifically Better Call Saul. It's a very good use for him.
He's real
too.
Fun in that.
Part of this was, you know, so they cast him and they're like, well, he's got such a Canadian accent, like, we need to make Trevor from Canada, or else it'll be, you know, so they had to change the character. I don't hear an accent on him.
No.
I don't know. What the fuck are they talking about? Maybe this is because I'm, you know, from the northern part of the country, it's not sticking out, but like, he does not sound Canadian to me.
I mean, that's my guess, you know, for any of this. Like, it's another country
thing,
which is fine. It's cute that he did that. They ended up making that suggestion. For him. Fun trivia about this. That actor hates this role.
Because
they got real pigeonholed into it, you know, playing a psychopath, and we're constantly being told, like, do the lines. They had a cameo for a time. And we're just having people tell their friends to, like, you know, call them as Trevor. and threaten them. No. And he eventually swore it off. Like, he doesn't do it anymore. You know, which I get, you know, I would not want to be pigeonholed as Trevor as a character.
No. You know, just, there were plans for him to be more involved in GTA Online. And then he's like, not going to do it.
But he's not going to, he ducked out. They get to this place where you do this like little overlook of the city. It looks real nice. You know, a great little moment there. And then you roll up to your cousin's apartment, Floyd there. Mm-hmm. Trevor comes in and takes him over. dominates them, so they're gonna stay there while his girlfriend Deborah is at a conference. This comes up later, but this is one of my least favorite little turns in this, is that Trevor just spends the whole time being like, oh, she's definitely, you know, fucking people behind your back, she's treating you like shit. She doesn't show up for the whole thing, and then because Rockstar, when she shows up, it's just true. You know, like there's no, Trevor doesn't know this, he's just being a misogynist, but then because the writers are also misogynists, like, he just happened to be right about all of it. And then he kills her, you know, and after he rapes him, you know, it's all pretty gross, all the stuff with Floyd. It's fun to watch him just kind of get taken over, but it's also just one of the more monstrous things that he does. And for unmotivated monstrism, like, he does it because he doesn't respect him, because he's weak. You know, he's kind of a bully. He's kind of a bully, you know. He's a little bit of a troublemaker. He's an instigator, is what he is. You know, and it just kind of feels. I don't know. I didn't like his relationship with Floyd very much.
I do like how the apartment gradually gets Trevorified.
It gets real gross. He just starts, you know, pissing in the corners and, you know, smearing shit on the walls and stuff.
It's a pissing corner.
He's an animal. So they're gonna take that over. So then Trevor goes to Michael's house there and just lets himself in. They're having a conversation in the kitchen. He just walks up and it's really, really tense. But his kids know him, you know, again, kind of humanizing
him.
Uncle T. You know, Jimmy breaks the news, you know, they give him a big hug and he's like, you know, where's Tracy? He's like, oh, she's auditioning for Fame or Shame. And Trevor's like, that's ridiculous. You're gonna let your daughter do that. This is American Idol, you know, is what she's doing. And again, it's just this weird, the perspective of this game, like, no, you should go kill people to stop your daughter from doing American Idol. Like, it's obvious that you should kill people to stop your daughter from doing American Idol. I can't believe you're not going to kill people to do that. So him and Michael hop in the car to do that. And they kind of talk a little bit and they're talking around like what they both know. And Michael keeps punting things. There's a really canny little bit of writing on his part. He's like, we don't have time to talk about that now, let's do this thing. He just keeps doing that.
But you rush over to the arena and you go in just in time to see, you know, Tracy, who considers herself to be a dancer, you know, dancing very terribly and singing very terribly, as the host of the show, you know, one of the judges here, Laszlo, returning
from GTA 3. Original. He's been in most of the games.
Co-writer of all the games. This is the first time that a character representing him has been in. Weirdly, Laszlo, the person.
I feel like he showed up in another game.
No. This is the first time he was. He's been on screen.
Something that got pointed out. I can't remember who pointed out. Like, somebody, some video I watched about this. That's interesting. Is that, like, in GTA 3, Laszlo is a straight man. You know, the whole idea was the city was really unhinged and they would call in, do his call-in show, and he would be the voice of reason. You know, that was a game where there was a place for a voice of reason. Now there kind of isn't. Like, he's also just a joke.
He's good, complete wimp, a complete creep, all of that.
Can't stop jacking it.
So
he, you know, he's sexually harassing her. So they yank him off of her and he runs. So we have to chase him down.
And you chase him into the river canal, where,
like, Mike,
where Michael holds him at gunpoint while Trevor makes him dance in his underwear on camera. You know, you're going to humiliate my surrogate niece. Well, I'm going to humiliate you. Funny thing about Laszlo. So back in, you know, back around Grand Theft Auto 3 times, I just would listen to the talk channel the entire time I was playing it, because I liked listening to the talk.
The music was the soundtrack to Scarface,
Yeah,
which was weird. It wasn't songs anyone had heard of or cared about.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's like, okay, Laszlo, you know, literally just doing searches, looking into it, saw you had a radio show. Laszlo was probably the first podcast that I listened to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, so like a syndicated radio show, like short little hits called the Techno File, is what it was. And so this is back, I mean, like literally like 2003, 2004, he like uploaded them to like a website for it. And so like, you know, every day or so, or, you know, I would let them build up. I would go and like listen to these little radio things about technology on the web. Literally might be the first podcaster that I listened to.
Oh, yeah. And now you get to see him dance naked.
Yeah.
In a game that calls you gay after you beat it.
Yep.
Like, the wonders of technology. I just remembered where the other place I'd seen Stephen O from. He's in Westworld.
Yes.
He's a real standout in Westworld. I forgot mm-hmm. about that. Like, great physicality on that guy. He's great.
Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. with you in that. So, yeah. So now the gang's back together, but it's very tense.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we're going to call it yep. for this episode. You know, made a little bit more progress today than I thought we would. I thought it was going to be longer, but like, it's a long game that takes a long time to play, but we're not doing a lot of the side shit.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're missing too much.
No,
from doing that, or you, the listener, are missing too much from us describing darts.
If you know how darts works,
yeah.
If there's like a standout Strangers and Freaks mission that you really really love, you can write in about it.
Yeah, and I'll talk about the ones I've done.
Yeah,
you know, they were largely lame. They were mm-hmm. like, you know, Michael went and tried some pot and then killed a bunch of aliens.
Yeah. The fun thing about that one, that is available for everybody.
But if they have very different modes for it.
If you do it as Franklin, he smokes so much pot that it doesn't do anything to him. He's like, this is weak.
he also, then you go and do just regular GTA missions.
Yeah.
You do drug running missions, and then Trevor kills hipsters.
Yes. But yeah. Write in. So if you have thoughts on this game, on Sayonara Wild Hearts, or the Order 1866, there we go. Mm-hmm. The deadline for that is November the 15th. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please write in multiple responses. You do that at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yes, we would really appreciate that. The other thing we can appreciate is going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And joining us, $5 a month mm-hmm. is going to give you that episode on The Order. I promise you, The Order is more interesting than you think it is.
Yeah.
I don't love it or anything, but mm-hmm. one of the things, I mean, this is just me patting myself on the back for picking that game for this month and having also picked Crysis, but choosing games that the only thing about them is one word.
Yeah.
You know, like Crysis, yeah, short. Crysis is just tech, you know, and then being like, oh, there's a game in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily good. You know, but there is a mm-hmm. game in there. There is a game inside The Order. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. Like, real craft went into it.
Yeah.
You know, the weird thing about that game is the people who did the story for it and the world building are taking it really seriously.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting. If you want to hear that episode, you want to hear our other premium episodes, you can do so by being a patron at $5 a month. You get all the previous episodes as well. Mm-hmm. You get bonus episodes of Abject Suffering. You get our show Unfilmable, which is our monthly show about horror media. You will get our new show that is coming out before the end of the year, Real Lich Hours, our mm-hmm. examination of Baldur's Gate 3, the Forgotten Realms setting, and then possibly moving into other long-form CRPGs. You get Bonfireside Chat, still going for now, and then the Elden Ring DLC should be announced any time now, the release mm-hmm. date for that. You get tons. It's $1.25 a week.
Yeah.
You know, not going to tell you what $1.25 a week should mean to you, but mm-hmm. we try to give you a lot of value for your money.
We do. Yes. So,
yeah.
Regarding those premium episodes, that will also, you know, you'll get next month's premium. So next month we are talking about Mass Effect, but the premium episode for that is going to be Slayers X, Terminal Aftermath, Vengeance of the Slayers. So just so you're aware of what the upcoming schedule is.
Yeah. Boomer Shooter as character study. Truly like a, you know, doesn't go as far as it can with that, but that is a new thing. That is a mm-hmm. cool new idea. And you'll get all the stuff we have planned for 2024. Save the date. The first weekend, December 1st through December 3rd, we're doing Duckstream again. Mm-hmm. Got to be coming up on our 10th year, if not our 9th year, but very soon, mm-hmm. for the Transactive Gender Project out of Lewis and Clark, College here in Portland. Mm-hmm. It provides a wide variety of services and support and education for trans youth and their families. Mm-hmm. Our partner and charity for a very long time. We love them. It's going to be a real good time. Same format as last couple of years. Nights in the West Coast, days in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be real fun.
It'll be a good time because it always is.
Yeah, it's great. Join us in thanking Gwen.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
Our producer, who composes a lot of our theme music lately, and then mm-hmm. also edits our episodes.
Yes.
Including this one.
Yeah. Just wonderful asset for the network. That is a very dispassionate way to say it.
Yeah. Check out her band, Trash Sound Conglomerate, on Bandcamp. Mm. And I think that's about it.
Think so. Yeah.
What should they watch out for until next time?
Watch out for those thousands of things you forget every day.